Welcome, everyone, to this Spirituality and Peace series. My name is David Nicol. I'm the director of the Gaia Field Project, and it's wonderful to have you with us for our final call of this series, which we've loved the ride that we've had with you all over the last couple of months. And this series, for those of you who have joined us, will know has been about building a field of peace throughout this northern hemisphere summer through the practices of mystics, spiritual teachers from a variety of traditions. And the focus of this series is more about entering into the direct experience of peace in our essence through these practices and weaving a diverse field of peace in this way. So all along we've been building up to September 21st, the International Day of Peace, and our peak event, which is just around the corner now, next Friday, Be the Peace. And it's very, very exciting to feel the momentum that's building in the field. So we've been laying the foundations with these practices all through the summer. And now there are something like over 40 global peace organizations that are collaborating with us and dozens more local organizations. There are hundreds of events that are happening, live events happening from 6 to 7 p.m. in local time zones on Friday around the planet. We'll have three times during the day where everyone can connect at the same time through a global attunement for peace via teleconference, webcast. And throughout the day, people can connect through a global care room, which is something that we'll talk about more on this call in particular, an internet site created by the Institute of HeartMath that allows you to see each other as points of light on a spinning Google Earth map and creates a beautiful visual image of the global field that's forming in real time. So we're very excited about next Friday. Check it out if you haven't already at bethepeace.com. And you need to register for the calls ahead of time. So please do that if you haven't already. And tomorrow, actually, on the one-year anniversary of the Occupy Wall Street movement, Be the Peace is going to be endorsed as an official Occupy action. So next week could be extremely exciting in terms of seeing what happens, and exciting for us to see this notion of the power of stillness, the power of meditation and prayer being activated at a bigger scale than it has been before. So hope you will be as excited about that as we are. So one of our core partners throughout this whole project has been the Institute of HeartMath and its Global Coherence Initiative. And so I'm delighted today to have as our guest teacher and speaker on our call, Dr. Deborah Rosman, who's the president and CEO of HeartMath. HeartMath has developed this unique M-Wave technology, which we'll hear about, which provides a scientifically validated system that quantifiably reduces stress and at the same time it empowers individual, social, and global coherence, enhances inner and outer peace, and attitudinal and behavioral changes. Dr. Rosman has been a psychologist and executive for over 30 years, and in addition to being the CEO of HeartMath, she serves on the Institute of HeartMath Scientific Advisory Board and the Global Coherence Initiative Steering Committee. We'll hear about the Global Coherence Initiative more. She's the co-author with HeartMath founder Doc Childre of Transforming Anger, Transforming Stress, and Transforming Depression. And she's a key spokesperson on heart coherence and heart intelligence to enhance heart-based living. So, Debbie, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, David. I'm so delighted to be with you and everyone this morning.
Great. So, Debbie, I think that a number of people on this call probably would have heard about HeartMath, but there's also no doubt a number who have not. So I'm just thinking a good place to start for our listeners today could be just to give an overview of the work and mission of HeartMath and some of the essential scientific research that it's done and as the basis of its programs.
Sure. Well, HeartMath was actually envisioned and inspired by founder Doc Childrey more than 20 years ago. He was researching stress, but he was also looking for what would enable people to listen to and follow their hearts, knowing that all the spiritual traditions, from the native traditions to the religions, had as their common thread, go deep into your heart for the answer, tune to your higher self, spirit, teacher, through the heart. And he realized that the growth in his meditations and process all came back to really learning to listen to that deeper heart signal and then follow it. And that is how we unfold who we really are. And he called that intuitive heart guidance, heart intelligence. And he realized that stress would be increasing enormously from when he had this vision and understanding back in the late 1970s, right through the new millennium, and that people would need simple tools, user-friendly methods to align their heart, brain, spirit, nervous system, and be able to hear the voice of the heart. And that was within everyone. And that he developed heart math to allow that as a neutral facilitator for whatever belief systems, and to have it belief system neutral, that people could get in sync with themselves and then connect with their true heart's intelligence. And it had to have a scientific underpinning. So when I met Doc in 1987, we started working together. I've been a research psychologist and a business person. And he said he wanted to start the Institute of Heart Math to really research heart, brain, and nervous system and refine the techniques and tools he was developing and using himself and with a team of associates on themselves as research subjects, but to really look in the lab to see what was happening. And that's how the Heart Math Institute, the nonprofit, started in 1990. And we discovered the critical link between emotional state and the physical heart, so that these sayings like heart focus and heart feeling and heart break or heart ache or heart full, all of those that we've been considered metaphors of the heart, we really found where the link was, where they aren't just metaphors. They are really indicative of states of the heart's rhythmic beating pattern. So you could see, as our attitudes and feelings change, the rhythmic beating pattern of the heart, measured by heart rate variability, changed. So we could see these patterns and then refine the techniques and tools to help people shift out of chaotic heart rhythm patterns into smooth, harmonic heart rhythm patterns. And it's been researched and validated by physiologists, psychologists, medical doctors across numerous institutions. And I think, David, what's most compelling here and what formed the foundation of a lot of our discoveries and research since, and the technology you mentioned, the M-Wave and the Global Coherence Initiative, was discovering that when you're feeling frustrated, angry, anxious, fearful, stressed, in other words, that your heart rhythm pattern goes into this very chaotic, jagged, irregular mode. The beat-to-beat changes in your heart rate are very erratic, responding to how the body feels. And then the heart signals the brain, hey, this is how the body feels, and the brain then goes into a fight-flight stress response and hormonal and immune response. It has a whole effect on our autonomic system and our whole way of perceiving and being. And so we see the outplay of that in the world today, don't we, and in our own personal lives and family lives. And on the other hand, when you can feel genuine peace, love, care, kindness, appreciation, forgiveness, all the qualities of the heart that we value, that we call heart-based qualities that we have through all the traditions. What happens in the physical heart is the rhythmic beating pattern goes into a beautiful harmonic, a very ordered sine wave-like pattern, which in physics you call a coherent waveform. And this coherence in the heart rhythm pattern signals the brain that the body is in sync, and the thalamus and the amygdala and other centers of the brain that synchronize to the pacemaker cells of the heart all start to beat in unison. The oscillating rhythms resonate with this coherent heart rhythm pattern, and it creates cortical facilitation. Now we're opening up our frontal lobes. We have a bigger picture perspective. The right and left hemispheres of the brain balance. We can actually see solutions or perceive new intuitive understandings in a way we couldn't when we're in the middle of a stress response, and which creates a cortical shutdown. So we call that simply heart coherence. And then we developed technology, the M-Wave, which stands for Empowerment Wave, to be able to see in real time, either through your computer screen or some different lights displaying on the portable M-Wave, whether you're in the heart rhythm pattern that's incoherent or coherent. And then it trains you quickly into coherence so that, I don't know about you, but it was very easy for me to fool myself at times. Part of me putting out love or care or compassion, the other part of me still sort of processing something about what he said or she. And when you use the M-Wave, it's like right in your face. Okay. So you really get into that state of heart coherence. And it's been a huge, huge, wonderful technology for so many people, healthcare professionals, individuals, relationship counselors, you know, children in schools, learning to get in sync because we feel better, our health improves. We perform better, but our meditations improve. We have more intuitive access, which was Doc's original vision, which is help people with simple tools to connect with their inner intuitive guidance and heart intelligence.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you, Debbie. That's a wonderful summary of the whole project of HeartMath from its origins to its application. And one thing I think that I find very striking about that story is how the essential insight emerged from Doc's experience of the world's spiritual traditions having that commonality in the heart's intuitive wisdom. And it seems that what I find so impressive actually about the HeartMath project is to translate that insight into practical tools that can be accessed by regular people and in a language with the scientific research that's acceptable in our modern culture. So it feels like that's, in a sense, compassion in action in a very deep way to make that essential insight real for people in the world.
Well, that's what inspired me to start working with Doc. I'd been a practicing psychologist and research psychologist and had discovered on my own that the heart had a different system of intelligence than the mind or brain. You know, when I have people talk from their heart in Gestalt therapy, it was a totally different person than when they were talking from their head. And I'd have them talk to each other, you know, sit in different places, have their heart talk to their head and the head talk to their heart. So when Doc talked about, and I was a 20-year meditator at that time, and when Doc talked about heart intelligence, something in me just riveted. And when he said, of course, he's a deeply caring and a very aware person himself, and when he said that's what he felt the planet needed, it is a system, a simple, user-friendly system that everybody would own inside them that was not guru-based or ritualistic-based, but simple tools that could enhance people's own personal religions or spiritual practices or rituals or whatever they do, and if they didn't do that, to be able to really get into that heart-coherent space, you have to have emotional self-management, and that's a lot of what was missing. And it's the heart, the power of the heart, that gives us the ability to choose how we feel and think, to manage emotions, to choose peace, patience, tolerance, kindness. These are all powerful frequencies and aspects of peace that actually are what put the heart rhythm pattern into coherence, or compassion, love, appreciation, care. So it's taking these qualities of spirit that have been seen as things you do on and when you meditate or in church or Sunday school, and bringing them right down and know these are practical ways that we're designed to live as human beings in heart-based living, that doctrine we call it. And, you know, forgiveness creates peace in your system. But then it also creates it in the energetic field environment. And we can really begin monitoring the heart rhythm pattern and see the electromagnetic effects in the local field environment. And, of course, that led to the Global Coherence Initiative.
Right. So that would be, I think, a great thing to explore next. And this is project where is a particular meeting point with our work with the Gaia Field Project and Subtle Activism, exploring the potential of this research and this insight into the heart intelligence to support not just individual coherence but also social and global coherence. And I think that would be wonderful to share with listeners how that came about and how the heart math research evolve into this brilliant vision of the Global Coherence Initiative.
Sure. Well, as you said, taking these practical tools to the ordinary person, or what Doc Childrey calls bringing sky to street in language they can understand and applicable to corporations or all sorts of social systems, we found we would measure pre and post assessments of people's attitudes and behaviors and productivity in companies and healthcare costs, and, you know, we took it all the way. And one of the things we found is that as they practice these tools, there'd be much more social coherence or team coherence. And otherwise, the egos moved out of the way quicker as people actually use the M wave together for reducing stress, but for enhancing performance. It's a business tool too. It's a decision-making tool to get more clarity on decisions. And there's a lot of heart math techniques that go with it. And we realized that coherence is such a key driver in the whole universe. And one of the first scientific discoveries is how the heart, the physical heart and the emotional, spiritual, energetic heart, they're all connected, is the driver of coherence that entrains the brain in the individual and in the team into the heart's rhythm and into new breakthrough ideas and new order. And so we thought, okay, that must be true on a global level. We talk about the universal brain, the universal mind, but it's the universal heart that powers that love, right? Love we all know and feel intuitively is at the core, and love creates coherence. So coherence at the quantum level to the macro level, whether in atoms, organisms, human beings, social groups, planets, or galaxies, coherence implies order and harmony and alignment within and among systems. So we thought, okay, how do we apply this? We've done it individually. We've shown proof of concept. We've done it socially in corporations and organizations, and especially a lot of the peace organizations. We stress ourselves out, or have, until we become more self-aware and self-responsible in the name of peace. And that doesn't work anymore. We have to be the peace. We have to be coherent to create it, because what we feel and think affects what goes out in our brain's electromagnetic field and our heart's field, and affects others and affects the quality of our work and our goals getting accomplished or not. The alignment has to happen from the heart through the brain to our actions and our interactions. So that, and there's no cheating that. And if we wonder why we're not as effective as we could be in some areas, if we're motivated and moving from frustration, impatience, anger, intolerance, it's going to keep feeding back on us. And certainly in these planetary acceleration energies, that feedback gets more intense. So we realized it was really important to create Global Coherence Initiative, where we could invite people to become heart coherence builders, to really create individually in their families and workplaces and organizations a field of more heart coherence, real measurable heart coherence. And that meant practicing, not just in your meditations, but day to day, replacing fear and judgment with patience and love and non-judgment and, you know, a lot of other things we all know to do, but really doing it. And then we were given and then further developed a very highly sensitive magnetometer, a type of sensor that can detect changes in the Earth's ionosphere and in the magnetic field. And there was research showing that as solar flares and other changes happen in the ionosphere and magnetic fields, it affected dramatically strokes, heart disease, depression, humanity. It affected human brain waves and hormonal responses, but it most sensitive thing it affected was the heart rhythm.
Mm-hmm.
And our hypothesis is, well, if the fields interact with the human's fields and affect the heart, perhaps by genuinely, intentionally putting out care and love and that heart coherence into the field, we can actually affect the field and create more heart coherence in the field environment of the planet and create beneficial effects in terms of opening up people's hearts, clearing a lot of the judgments that are energetically clogging the field, and just really increase coherence in the global field environment. And it's a critical mass number of people can measurably increase their heart coherence and radiate more coherent heart energy into the global field environment. The hypothesis is that it generates a synergistic feedback loop between humanity and Mother Earth to facilitate a shift into another dimension of consciousness based on the baseline of emotional self-regulation and really practicing peace, patience, kindness, tolerance, love. So we created a whole scientific advisory board and the Global Coherence Initiative. People can go to glcoherence.org, www.glcoherence.org, and see all the research. And it's going to be essential for us to start working with our energetic fields individually, collectively, and globally to really facilitate this shift out of social and economic oppression and mm-hmm. all the warfare and the cultural intolerance to a more coherent global view that needs another dimension, another level of consciousness, which is awakened through the heart. And we can see this awakening happening all around the world, like a new world, as people getting tuned to this frequency is being birthed within the old order that's falling apart.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really the mission of the Global Coherence Initiative, to be a facilitator in that. Because
mm-hmm.
peace is actually an effect, the net effect of heart coherent co-creation.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful. So I know that one of the expressions of the Global Coherence Initiative is this Global Care Room, which we've been using through this series, and that we're very excited in particular about how it's going to appear on Friday with the synchronized meditations we'll be doing. Could you share just a little bit about the inspiration behind the Care Room and how that came about?
Sure. Well, as we launched the Global Coherence Initiative, and we started to develop these sensor sites. We have 7 of them have been funded. We've only installed 4 so far, but that's pretty good because they cost about $60,000 each, and they need to be at 12 strategic locations throughout the planet where, to think of them as satellite dishes, picking up the resonances, the frequencies from different segments, from the whole ionosphere, from different segments. So you need about 12 or 13 to get the whole ionosphere, which is like a skin around the planet that protects the planet and life on the planet from solar radiation and modulates the incoming cosmic particles. So we said, okay, how do we help people engage more in the heart together? I mean, there were a lot of, we have over, nearly 50,000 members now, but at the time it was like, let's create the care room, because this is all about global care, putting out heart care to the planet. And so we created this room, which is really a rotating Google Earth, and where people who are in the room at the same time doing heart, what we call heart lock-ins, and we'll do one together in a little bit, where you are focusing in the heart and you're locking on to that feeling of love or care or compassion in the heart and radiating that out into your field environment and to the planet. And we thought, wouldn't it be wonderful if people could see each other doing that in little gold points of light on a rotating Google Earth, so we could see where are the members at the time. We were, GCI members are in 82 countries, and leave comments, share comments, read each other's comments, and do the theme, the care focus of the week or the month together, because we will periodically send out emails of a care focus, like after the tsunami in Japan, it was a call to action. Everyone come, you know, whether you could do it in the care room or not, you know, to really send heart and create a whole dome of gold light around that area and send heart to the people of being effective. And it allows a gathering virtually where you can really feel that connection in the heart with everyone participating in the care room, radiating love and appreciation to each other and care to the planet. It gives you a visual representation, and we find that, and people tell us that they just feel more present and more connected when they do go into the care room.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, and, you know, we're very excited about the use of the care room next Friday. I've always found my experience in the care room to be just as you're describing it, that it really is a heartfelt experience to discover that you're in this room with people all around the world of different cultures and different religions, but who are sharing the basically same intention that you are. And there's something that's just very easily uplifting about that discovery. So so right now, I think it would be great to move into this practice. And for those who are by a computer, if it's not up already, the Global Care Room, this would be a good time to open it. The link is in the email that was sent. If you haven't, if you're not in front of a computer, or if you haven't been to a care room before, it's not essential to this practice, so I would advise you not to sort of spend a lot of time trying to figure that out right now. The practice will guide you into a coherent heart space with or without the care room. But for those for whom it's up, this might be a good time to take an opportunity to experience the care room and how it can enhance this experience of connection with others around the world. So Debbie, would you kindly lead us now into this practice to actually experience this state of deeper coherence?
I will, and let me say I'm going to also be sharing, leading you in the practice, but for each full moon, the Global Coherence Initiative puts out a theme, some care focus with some understandings that we have and that Doc Childrey usually writes, not always, but he usually doesn't. This one he did about these times in the planetary shift, the energies for this month, and not that it's confined to this month, but real important things for us, practices to do together to build our coherence baseline and be more effective in our energetic contributions to the field environment. So I'm going to be sharing that in this heart lock-in.
Great.
Okay, let's start by focusing our attention in the area of the heart. Put your hand over your heart if that helps, to shift your energy and attention out of the head, mind, and into the center of your chest. The area around your heart. It's the energetic heart. And now the second step is pretend or imagine that your breath is flowing in through the heart area and out through the heart area. So staying with heart focus, breathe in through the heart, slowly, a little more deeply than usual, and out through the area of the heart. Now, as you do this heart-focused breathing, feel like you're connecting in the heart with everyone in this call. Everyone participating together or listening. And radiate from your heart love and appreciation to each other as you breathe in through the heart and out through the heart. Knowing that we're all connected deep in the heart. And from that connected network of heart, it's to breathe love and compassion into the planetary field environment. While imagining our collective heart energy helping to ease the cumulative stressors from the ongoing global conflicts, the fear and anger and disruption in Middle East that's going on right now from some groups because of the YouTube video. The instability in the economies and the weather. Send our love, compassion into the field environment and imagine our collective heart energy helping to ease the cumulative stressors from these changes. Then realize that one of the most effective energetic contributions we can make to help co-create a positive future for ourselves and the planet is to replace our personal tendencies towards negative, downsided projections regarding the personal future or planetary outcomes. So send our heart intention into the field environment to replace those as they come up inside ourselves and the collective as best we can. A downsided projection is a negative perception or speculation about how something will play out. Instead of projecting judgment, dread, or anxiety about a situation, and say personally, say you're planning to meet someone with whom you've had a hard time communicating. It's so standard to project judgment, dread, or anxiety. But we can replace that feeling with a heart intention to drop the preset and judgment while maintaining the state of calm and neutrality. This creates an environment where people and situations can change for the better. And even if they don't change, you benefit from clearing the negative preset from your personal energy field. Negative projections are registered in the heart's and brain's electromagnetic fields, generating waves of incoherence in the energy field environment around us and in the planet that serve to create outcomes we don't want. It's a societal habit handed down through generations that can seem normal and without consequence. And most of us have done this, especially in the midst of challenges. But as we each practice changing the habit of negative projection, we reduce much personal stress and increase our power to manifest a higher vibrational field environment, which is our highest contribution to the global consciousness shift. So now as we're radiating and continuing to breathe that love and compassion into the planetary field environment, refocusing in the heart, rebooting in the heart, radiating that heart-focused breathing and heart feeling of love and compassion into the planetary field. Visualize more people beginning to realize that negative projections create the unwanted energy field environment we are trying to dissipate by sending love and compassionate care. And radiate the intention and the understanding into the field environment that as we practice replacing negative projections, this builds a coherent energetic grid that makes it easier for others to be intuitively inspired to do the same. And sending that pure heart energy into that intention, knowing that that is so important for establishing peace within ourselves, within our families, workplaces, countries, and on the planet. Let's just keep breathing that love, care, compassion, intention into the field environment across the planet. And also radiate the frequencies of patience, tolerance, kindness, ease, and peace. Thank you for participating in this care focus.
Thank you, Debbie. And so it often is a little hard to move from that space into words or sharing, but we do want to open a space here for anyone who feels moved to share about their experience, or who may have a comment or question of any kind for Debbie. We have a time here for where the circle is open. So if you're in the webcast, you can type your question or comment and we'll read it out. And if you're on the phone, then you press star 2 and we'll call on you to make your question. Perfectly fine as well, just to remain in the silence, and we'd encourage you to just stay resting in that deep silent space where in the field and creating the field right now. So this is part of the practice, but the invitation is there for comments if you feel moved and questions of any kind.
David, maybe I could add a comment to people's energetic focus and contribution to the field, whether you continue in the heart lock-in radiation or we start talking, have questions or comments. The aim is to build this coherent energetic field because it does build. Energy is accumulated, so we can actually collectively accumulate this pure heart energy, this coherent energy in the field to help, like a laser light, like coherent light is what you see in a laser, whereas most incandescent light still lights, but it's incoherent. And the photons aren't all lined up. And laser light is so powerful. Heart coherence is so potent energetically that it really is like the dimensional transfer from a higher dimension of energy into the field that can help condition the field to clean it up, like a planetary cleanup from all the judgments and fears and distortions that also have accumulated in the field over thousands of years. And it's this time in the planetary shift awakening that's part of the mission of people waking up is to do that. And as that light, that coherent light, cleans the field, it inspires new intuitive breakthroughs, new synergy, new co-creation that's only possible in a coherent energetic field. As well as clearing the densities in the field so that it makes it easier for others to connect with the heart, wherever they are, in Africa, in a repressive state, in a repressed country, we can all go to the heart and connect with new frequencies that can give new perspectives, new hope, potentially new solutions. And at a global scale, increasing global coherence, and we're all part of creating that together, can accelerate the problem solving for so many social, environmental, and economic challenges, and actually help usher the planet into the next consciousness shift. And that's what's designed. We have to do it. We are co-creating it because we are it. We are the consciousness that's creating the outcomes on the planet. Yes, there's facilitation, but as we do this together and know that we're doing this, we can know it's really achievable. And it doesn't take a whole lot of us. It just takes enough of us to create this field environment facilitation. And so I wanted to encourage people in that hope. And then at the same time, it goes right down to what the theme of that care focus was. It's about what we do in the street, not in the, just in the sky, but in our day-to-day choices of what do we do with those subtle negative downslant fear-based projections that come up. And it's pausing, stopping, going to our heart, replacing them, and activating a different attitude or feeling, because we're always feeding the field with whatever we think or feel, consciously or unconsciously. And we right. can learn to access our authentic vibration and have more intuitive facilitation to feed the field with what we really want to do, who we really are.
Right. Well, I feel a very, very big yes to everything that you said, and it's deeply inspiring and wise, I think, as a way forward for us. There are a few comments coming in through the webcast and some questions. We have some deep appreciation being expressed by Shiloh of Olympia. Thank you. I needed that so much. My community also needed it. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Much love. We have Kiara who asks, Deborah, you described peace as an effect. Would you please say more about this?
Sure. Well, peace is a cause too. In other words, when we shift to our heart and consciously choose a feeling of peace or make peace with what we don't feel peaceful about inside, those are very powerful self-initiated activators of peace. But if we want to have peace in our homes, peace in the world, peace in our environment, peace in that regard is the net effect of what we do internally, of the peace, the choices we make inside, the co-creation of choices between our head and heart, and the internal peace we can create that way, and the net effect of peace we create with others at our homes and our workplaces, and then the individual to the social to the global peace that we can do between countries. But it all really starts with our inner energetics and our social energetics and the global energetics. Peace manifested is really the outward expression of what has happening on the energetic level. That's what we mean by peace is the net effect of co-creation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay, so we have T. Fitzsimmons on the call from New Jersey. We'll give you the mic, and you're free to ask your question.
Hi. First, thank you. That was absolutely beautiful. My question, you may have sort of just answered it, but it's what you said before about thinking that you are in coherence, but you find out that you're sort of fooling yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Could you explain in a bit more detail about, you know, how to get in there or what it actually is that you, how are you fooling yourself? I mean, I'm a little spaced out, excuse me. But I hope you get the gist of what I'm asking.
I do. That's a good, really good question.
Thank you.
Well, it has to do, I mean, I'm a 40-year meditator, but I still can sit down, and if I've been running all day, it can take me quite a while to settle down at times and get my mind and heart and emotions and body still, my energetics. Or, and the mornings when I do my morning meditation or prep, I call it prep for the day, get my frequencies aligned and my intentions aligned. It can take a little time, or when I'm even participating, like in a care focus or a group heart energy lock-in like this. I'm honest with myself to say, how much am I totally present and engaged, and how much is my mind wandering? How am I scattered? How long is it taking me? None of this is about bad or good. It's just coherence is a very precise state. So I can be putting out love with that great intention of love and then be thinking about what that person said to me that bumped me an hour before, and it's hard to shift. And that incoherent feeling and energy is sort of deducted from the coherent intention of the love I'm putting out. Think of it all computer-like, mathematical, not about good or bad. Because that's really how the physics of energy works. So we can be singing, expressing love, meditating, and it's really the quality of the attunement that we have in terms of how heart coherent we are. And the beauty of the M-Wave technology, which is where I was talking about that, is that it has a pulse sensor that clips to your ear lobe, and it reads out either on the computer screen or on the little handheld device. When it's red, that means you're not in the heart coherent state. You still may be loving, you still may be appreciating, but the true electromagnetic, electrophysiological state of coherence that has all the systems lined up, and you can know when you're there, you feel it, it's got a sort of ping to it. Mm-hmm. And without a feedback device, we've all been there and known that feeling of presence. It turns blue, and when you're there all the way, it turns green, so it's very encouraging. And it can measure it at a very forgiving level. It gives you some leeway, and then there's higher challenge levels that you really have to stay present and focused. So it's a training tool, but that's what I meant by fooling ourselves. You can have a million people putting out prayers and love and good intentions to the planet, and all that adds to it. It's all important. It's wonderful.
Right.
And you can have maybe 100,000 people really in the heart coherent state putting out that heart coherent frequency at that resonance, and it's going to have so much more effect on the field environment.
I see. So it's almost like a degree to which you're there or not.
Yes.
Great, I see. Thank you so much.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we have a few more comments and questions in the webcast. We have one from Sandy who says, I'm new to HeartMath. This is so powerful. Are there local groups one can meet with to learn more and experience a caring room in person? And I would actually like to just say something about that and then pass it over to you, Debbie,
mm-hmm.
which is just to say that this Friday would be the piece. It will be really a wonderful opportunity to experience a care room with a lot of people in the room to get a very full experience of the global field. And there are local groups. The question came from San Diego. I believe there are local events happening in San Diego. And, or you can create one yourself and just invite a few friends over and have the care room up on your computer. So just this Friday would be one opportunity to do that. But Debbie, do you have any other suggestions?
Well, I know that, after this Friday event, too, you could go to the main global care room at the Institute of HeartMath on the global care room site there. And you may have this too, David, on yours. I don't know. But there's places where members can put in where they're located. They can communicate with each other and get together if they want to. We don't organize that. But very often there are people in San Diego, I know, but there's other areas where people are all participating. And then that's one way. And then I know for HeartMath itself, we don't have local physical hubs, but there are plenty of groups that gather together around HeartMath coaches that are certified and train in various places throughout the United States especially. And you can go to the website and find out where they are. But mostly what we're doing is virtual online or distance learning courses and training just because it reaches so many people. But I way understand the desire of people to find their heart buddies nearby and be able to meet with like-hearted, like-minded people. We also have a heart buddy network through heartmastery.com where it's welcome to anyone to join to share experiences and growth in the heart.
Great. So Dana from Petaluma said, this is very helpful in clarifying for me how my anger at the injustice in the world needs to be transformed so that the energy I put out into the field is peaceful and coherent rather than angry and incoherent. I feel more conscious of this right now and more motivated to put my focus on this. And thanks, Dana.
Yes, thank you, Dana. You saying that just touches my heart deeply because that makes this whole call worthwhile, not that everything else doesn't, but that is the biggest realization we all need to have, I believe, is that the means and the end are one. There is no justification anymore. And once we understand the research and the science of all this, how a means that is incoherent can justify an end that is coherent, it won't happen. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. So we have a comment and question from Pegasus from L.A. Deborah just answered my thought, but what if you are surrounded by negativity and lose yourself to others?
You can practice heart coherence, and it helps create a protective field of light around you so the negativity isn't as gets to you as easily. And you'll start getting your own intuitive guidance as to how to help or remove yourself from the situation. You'll start listening to what your real self is telling you about it all, listening to your heart. You'll get stronger in that. But there's research showing that as people are heart coherent, they actually help people who aren't heart coherent move and train into coherence. So your heart coherence can have an impact on your environment, helping others find more balance and coherence.
Okay. So a comment from Pearl from Maine. Since using heart math techniques for almost 3 years now, I've found them to be some of the most easy techniques to increase personal congruence, emotional integrity, and heart coherence. I very much appreciate the exponential energetic feeling when I connect with like-hearted individuals around the world in the global care room. It deeply inspires a feeling of oneness with all peoples as well as with all beings and the planet. It has helped ground within me a deepened sense of co-creation. I visit the global care rooms daily and am deeply appreciative for it. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Deep thanks to the Shift Network as well for all you're doing to support peace and evolution. Thank you, Pearl.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one final question from Donna from Florida. She says, Debbie, you mentioned feeding the field in a positive sense. Given the current unleashing of massive emotion on a global scale, can we feed the field in reverse, so to speak, to neutralize the negative outpouring? Or is it necessary to lance the boil of accumulated emotion first?
Good question. No, it's a good question. We do feed the field and can feed the field with the outpouring of heart coherence and everything we talked about today. Replacing our negative projections or fear with love and knowing intentionally that we're feeding the field with heart coherence by doing that, by putting out compassion and forgiveness, it helps stabilize the field environment or at least put out a calm neutrality. It helps, like a mother creating a calmer environment for a child that's gone wild to settle down in. That doesn't mean that the local people in the area, wherever those disturbances are, don't have to be firm and disciplining as well in order to not create more harm or damage. Not saying that, but for us on the energetic level, or wherever we are, putting out a heart coherent field really helps facilitate the ease. And understanding the compassion of the anger that's breaking out everywhere. It's not about agreeing with it or disagreeing with it, but it's having understanding of the frustration and the fear and the stressors that have accumulated underneath that are causing that eruption. So the boil is lancing by what's going on. And as more heart coherence comes into the planetary field, it is actually going to bring up and create more of the old stuff, more old patterns. So we're going to see more of this kind of stuff. And building our coherence builds our strength and resilience to understand it, have compassion for it, not get swept into it, and hold our alignment so we're feeding the field with pure heart coherence. That's the greatest gift we can give to ourselves in the field, and allowing some of this stuff underneath the surface has to come out in order to clear. Good question.
Well, thank you so much, Debbie, for your wisdom and for your commitment for this beautiful call. I really appreciate it, and also our ongoing partnership. So thank you so much.
And thank you, David. We really value here at HeartMath and the Global Coherence Initiative our partnership with you and Guy Field, and really look at this as just the beginning of our co-creation.
Yeah, absolutely. And so this brings us to the end of this Spirituality and Peace series, which has been such a joy. And I want to thank all of you for participating with us and helping us co-create this field over the summer, which, as I said, is going to come to a peak on Friday with the Be the Peace event. And, you know, we've been weaving this field with teachings and energies from really all the world's wisdom traditions. We've had prayers and meditations from Sufis and rabbis and Christian mystics and indigenous elders and Hindu masters and Buddhist teachers. So what I would like to do, just as a very a brief way to close this series, is just to take another 30 seconds or so in silent gratitude together for all of the teachings and teachers and communities that have helped co-create this field, and which is ongoing. But let's just take this 30 seconds of silent appreciation for each other and for everyone who's contributed to this field thus far. Okay, thank you. Namaste. Blessings, everyone. We'll see you again soon. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.